Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's October the 2nd, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grain Field Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. And then later in the program, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, disaster aid for farmers may be visited during the lame duck session when Congress returns after the midterm elections. WERDA has been blocked, and it appears that one may not survive to see the lame duck session. The corn growers have called this last push to pass WERDA the best chance the locks and dams legislation had seen in years. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in the half hour. And don't forget to stay with us through the bottom of the hour when we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all happens on this Monday edition of AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at agrigold.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat at $4.46, up 3 cents today. The March contract at $4.63, a nickel higher. December corn futures, $2.67¾, up 5¼. The March contract at $2.80¾, 5½ cents higher. And the May futures at $2.89, up 6¼ for the day. December corn at $3.07½, up 5. That, of course, December 2007. November soybeans for this year, $5.45¼, down 2¼. January is down 2 cents at $5.60¼, and the March contract at $5.71, down 2. Next year's Noves at $6.07½, off 2½ today. October bean meal up 20 cents at $1.62.10, and the October bean oil at $23.58, down 19. At the Mercantile Exchange, October feeder cattle, $113.30, they're up 40 cents. October live cattle at $91.57½, up 92½, and December futures at $90.50, up 65 cents a hundredweight for the live cattle. Lean hog futures, October contract, 62½ cents higher at $64.25. From the outside markets, crude oil trading the November contract at this hour down $1.91 at $61 even. The CRB index at 301.34, down 4.24, and the dollar at 85.59, down 0.44. The Dow at 11,670, now down just about 9 points for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grain Field Marketing in Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, harvest season is upon us. I know that the combines are in full swing, and the price is still up a nickel in the corn pit. What's up with that?
Wow, unbelievable. It's one of the few times in history that we're seeing a contra-seasonal move in the, at least in the future side, in corn especially. Corn's a good 30 cents off the low on the board there. Oftentimes, futures-wise, if you go back and do look, we do see futures low prior to harvest here over the last couple years. That's been the tendency. The bean low has a tendency to be later on in October. But overall, the general tone is contra-seasonal. We'll take it. Basically, the futures is several things to look at. One, in corn, we're seeing spillover buying from the wheat pit. That's been fairly popular and advertised. The second thing is, this is the first business day for the new quarter, and there's ideas that the funds had some more money to invest in the grain sector, and they've gone into the corn and wheat market here. Then lastly, too, this ethanol phase is still gaining momentum from the point that if you're an investor off the street, it's awful hard to get involved in a plant. When these plants first start going, you could get in relatively easy or cheap, for say, as groups of farmers getting together, pooling together. But now we're starting to see investors come into the corn market itself instead of messing with IPOs or actually come up with large sums of money. We're starting to see pooling action and actually owning corn futures. So I think it's a combination of things, of this anxiety that demand's going to be strong. Every piece of paper or literature you pick up is talking about this demand, and horse might be getting, or car should be getting a little bit of the horse here for a little while, but for the most part, there's just a lot of optimism as we move into 2008.
On that note, the cash markets generally are not nearly as optimistic, usually, as the futures market, and don't react in the same way sometimes, although there was a dime rise on Friday in that marketplace, and I suppose it'll be up again today.
Yeah, that's a big question mark. In some areas, cash is starting to back off. The cash market's been falling along so far, and that's what caught a lot of the trade by surprise. But Friday there's some hesitation, and then today I imagine there might be a little hesitation there. Well, what's happened is a lot of these elevator managers have done a fantastic job of moving stuff out ahead of time and doing a real good job of logistics and so forth. And we're in a situation where there might be enough storage around to pretty well find a home for everything, that we might not see that big harvest glut come forward here. We still got quite a bit of the harvest to go yet. Yields continue to be fairly strong as a whole. This afternoon, they're expecting the USDA to announce that we've got 20 to 25% of the corn socked away, and anywhere from 15 to 20% of the beans harvested.
Thanks for covering for me. I said a dime up in the cash market. Somebody out there is wondering where their dime was in the cash, weren't they? It was off a penny and a half on the Central Illinois cash market Friday. I went down the right road, just missed the sign altogether, didn't I? So tell me about this marketplace. And when you look at the cash market, when you look at the futures market, what are you doing with corn and advising producers as they harvest on the crop that they have neither gotten sold yet and that they don't have space for available in the elevator and not at home either?
That's a good question, and we've been rebounding a lot of those questions, and a producer just needs to sit down and push the pencil on it. What's his different options he can go in through here? From where we're at and where the loan's at, where LDP opportunities are, where it's on-farm, off-farm storage, that's the big question. Everybody's different. Each farm's different, too. When we look at producers having to go to the commercial side of the equation for storage, that is, we're sort of looking at going ahead and moving cash corn at these levels here, getting caught up on some. Because when you go ahead and figure your minimum storage, add for math purposes there 20 cents to it, that's a 20 cents out the window, or 20 cent investment, I should say. So in order for you to break even, the cash corn market needs to rally another 20 cents from here. Will it do it? Probably will. When? Well, it might not happen until later on. So our best strategy is may go ahead and move some cash corn in through here on this rally, then re-own it on paper at some point in time, because we feel if we're going to have a significant rally, it's going to be later on next summer. So we're using this rally in here to get caught up and get to where we want to be, because we feel at this point in time, from here on up, that the risk becomes back to the downside as an owner of cash grain.
You're making the assumption, at this point, you're going to make those sales, but you're not going to cover them just yet. How much lower do we need to go before you decide to cover them?
We're going to use the time window of mid-October here, another 2 weeks, maybe possibly 3 weeks. Price-wise, we're going to have to monitor the market here. If we can record some type of top in through here, we would use some pullbacks in the December futures back into this 250 area to get that job done.
Tell me about the soybean market.
It's sort of a struggle here. It seems the popular thing to do is buy corn, sell beans, buy wheat, sell beans. The trade's not comfortable with the bean market at this point in juncture. Seasonally, mid-October is the time window for the beans to get serious about making a recording a low in here. When you look at the raw fundamentals, we've got ample supplies of beans, both world and domestic-wise. I think beans is the big bull longer term. But short term in here, we're probably going to struggle a little bit until we get halfway through harvest, and then we can start the seasonal recovery as we go into year end.
No, wait, go back and tell me about that. Why do you think beans are the big bull long term as opposed to corn?
Well, basically, when you look long-term in here, we've got a battle of acreage taking place. And when it's all said and done, we're going to need more corn acres, and those corn acres are going to come at the expense of beans. Also, too, we're looking at El Nino type of weather, which spells trouble for the southern hemisphere. And also, too, as we visit with individuals who have invested interest in the southern hemisphere, we find that they're going to be down on acres this coming crop year. Now, I know things could change, But as the southern hemisphere, such as Brazil, starts pushing the pencil on what they're doing, we're finding, you know, for example, an 8,500-acre operation is only going to plant 1,500. Another guy's got 2,500, and they're not going to do anything. So we have a feeling that the expansion in Brazil especially is sort of on hold, if not retracted by 10%.
All right. Anything to add on the livestock before I let you go for the day?
Well, the hog report was out Friday. It was sort of the negative on the breeding side of the equation, but we sort of shrugged that off. Those summer months held in there and came back and closed anywhere from 30 to 40 higher up front. Here we're talking about a little better demand short-term in here. Cash hogs were strong in here, so we sort of dodged the negative news that the trade was looking at there Friday afternoon.
We appreciate you being with us.
Very good.
Kirk Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens on Monday afternoons.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
At the bottom of the hour, a meteorologist from Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather. AM580's own Ed Kieser says there is a severe thunderstorm watch in effect for this afternoon for the northern third of Illinois and extreme northwestern Indiana. That until 9 o'clock Central Time this evening. Tonight, Ed says in the north, partly to mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere, partly cloudy. Lows will range from 58 in northeastern Indiana to 68. In southwestern Illinois. Tomorrow, he says, in the north, a mix of clouds, some sunshine, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms tomorrow. Elsewhere, mostly sunny, very warm. Highs tomorrow from 81 in northeastern Indiana to 94 in southwestern Illinois. Tomorrow, wind speeds 12 to 25 miles an hour. The minimum afternoon relative humidities ranging between 35 and 50% for the day. The extended forecast across the two-state region, a cool front will push from northwest to southeast through Illinois and Indiana on Wednesday. That'll trigger some scattered showers and some thunderstorms. After Wednesday, dry weather expected in all areas Thursday through Saturday, and for all but parts of northern and west central Illinois on Sunday. The temperatures will return closer to seasonable levels later in the week, with the coolest highs on Thursday ranging from the 60s in the north to the 70s in the south, and the coolest lows on Friday morning ranging from the 40s in the north to the 50s in the south. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment with today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.
In agricultural news, Washington Insider is reporting that agricultural disaster aid that would provide almost $5 billion to producers and ranchers will be revisited during a lame duck congressional session after the November elections. Lawmakers went home Friday after Republican Senate and House leaders blocked efforts to pass the measure. North Dakota Democrat Kent Conrad led efforts to pass the bill.
No one is enriched. What people are given is a chance to make it to next year. That's what is in doubt. The bankers of my state have told me if there is a failure to provide this kind of assistance, 5 to 10% of the producers in my state will be forced off the land.
Disaster assistance could be included as part of the fiscal 2007 agricultural appropriations bill. The Senate version contains $3.5 billion for disaster assistance, but the House version does not mention disaster aid. House Republicans continue to demand cuts in other farm programs to pay for disaster assistance. Also mired in committee, the Water Resources Development Act. Republican leaders in the Senate blocked a vote on the bill Friday afternoon. Missouri Senator Jim Talent is now optimistic about lame duck action.
I don't want to wait at all, in part because what happens in the lame duck session is going to depend on the results of the election, and we don't know what that's going to be.
But Iowa Democrat Tom Harkin says WERDA has a chance after the fall elections.
This bill passed unanimously in the Senate, so Democrats and Republicans passed with a handful of votes against it in the House. So I am hopeful that when we come back in lame duck session, which has already been announced that we're doing on November the 13th, that we'll have finished it by then and we can take it up sometime in November.
Still, Harkin says Army Corps of Engineers reform demands complicate final passage. National Corn Growers Association President Gerald Tumbleson says they'll keep pressure on Congress to pass WERDA.
It is disappointing for the corn growers. We've been working on this for so many years. They'd have thought they'd have had time to put it in there, but we are not giving up on it. I'm pretty sure that when we come back after the election that we'll get it done, and we're still going to put some real pressure on to get it done at that time. I'm very confident that once it's brought up, it'll be done. So we're disappointed at the moment, but we're pretty persistent. We've been at this for a number of years, so we're not going to give up yet.
WERDA, among other things, would upgrade 70-year-old locks and dams on the Upper Mississippi and Illinois rivers. As anticipated, the World Trade Organization on Friday found the European Union maintained a de facto ban on approval of GMO foods between 1999 and 2003. It also found that bans on GMO imports violated WTO rules in six EU member states. U.S. officials urged the EU to comply with the ruling and begin approval consideration of pending biotech products. Since 2003, the EU has approved at least 10 biotech products, and another 30 are under consideration. The EU can appeal the WTO ruling. Add Senate Ag Chairman Bob Goodlatte to those up in arms over an EPA final rule that would lower the legal amount of particulate matter allowed in the atmosphere. Goodlatte says the EPA is making a very serious mistake when it comes to agriculture.
And it concerns me that this is one more step towards tightening the noose to where we get to the point that farmers actually do have to comply with some of the ridiculous suggestions that have been made, such as requiring trucks, tractors, and other farm vehicles to be washed after they leave the field to keep the dust from escaping as they drive down the road. These things are just plain crazy, and trying to find reasonable things for the society to do to protect the environment, this is clearly not one of them.
In its original proposal, the EPA gave exemptions to farming and mining operations. Those exemptions disappeared in the final rule that was released last week. EPA officials say agriculture will not be affected by the rule change. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey, of course, your Director of Agricultural Programming here at the WILL radio stations. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. Well, up next, as you know, it's harvest season in the Midwest, and that means the combines are rolling, and the corn and soybean crops will soon be put away. But there's a lot more than just corn and soybeans in the state of Illinois' Horn of Plenty. Did you know that Illinois grows more processing pumpkins than any other state in the Union? At least 90% of them. That makes your pumpkin pie at Thanksgiving an Illinois native. From there, we head to Christmas, and what would that be without a poinsettia? If you live in the Midwest, there's a pretty good chance that the one you buy will be grown near Granville, Illinois. Mid-American Growers has 60 acres of greenhouse and about 1 million poinsettias in pots at the moment. Mid-American is just one of nearly 10,000 green industry businesses in the state of Illinois. Combined, they add about $5 billion of direct economic value to the state every year and employ more than 160,000 people. They work in the greenhouses, the nurseries, the local florist shop, and for landscaping and lawn care companies. Well, what would Christmas be without a good bottle of wine? Did you know that in the early 1900s, Illinois was the fourth largest wine-producing state in the nation? There are almost 60 wineries in the state today, including the August Hill Winery in Utica. Today, they produce about 500,000 gallons of wine every year combined. The Illinois wine industry adds about $20 million to the state's economy. And it, like the rest of agriculture in the state, often turns to the University of Illinois for answers. And they get them, says August Hill winemaker Mark Winsel.
U of I has been beneficial from the standpoint of the extension offices and their research centers. They grow a number of varieties to help us learn which varieties are best to grow. Bill Schumacher up in St. Charles. You know, when I have questions about diseases or what's going on with the grapes or problems, he always seems to be able to easily talk to. The university has a lot of research and the spray program guides and everything. That's been very beneficial and helpful.
You can taste just how helpful by looking for the August Hill Winery and other Illinois winemakers on the web at illinoiswine.com. Well, the heart and soul of Illinois agriculture lies in its vast prairie. The soils are rich and deep and diverse, and from them came one of the nation's primary cash crops, corn. It is big business. Nearly all the hybrid corn that farmers plant has an ancestor rooted in Illinois. Today's seed corn, more often than not, is developed, grown out, harvested, and processed in places like El Paso, Illinois, where the seed corn business employs 25 people full-time and another 250 seasonally. It's all part of the state's number one industry, agriculture. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
It's a Monday afternoon. On the Closing Market Report, we're joined now by Greg Johnson of the Andersons here in Champaign County to take a look at the cash grain market. Hi, Greg.
Good morning, or good afternoon, Todd.
Good afternoon. I bet your day has been pretty busy.
This time of year, it's hard to tell morning from afternoon.
Indeed. Also, you're finally busy there. How are things going at the elevator?
I would say bean harvest officially started in earnest over the weekend. We've had a very good run of beans over the weekend, and feels like with the weather, if it cooperates, we'll continue to have a good week of bean harvest.
Guys in the central Illinois portion of the state happy with their harvest and the yields they've been getting?
Very good. Very, very pleased. We're consistent, too. With corn, there's some good yields, some average yields, and some a little disappointing. But with beans, they're all pretty much as expected, if not better than expected. So very, very happy with the bean yields thus far.
Will the basis widen today following the futures market, or will it narrow?
Yes. We've seen bean basis drop a dime at the processors here locally. The Gulf basis has probably dropped about 4 cents from about 4 or 5 days ago. So I think that supply of beans is starting to hit the pipeline, and we're starting to see basis levels on beans anyway drop. The corn basis is still hanging in there very firm.
And your expectations for corn basis, it's been awfully good as we came through the end of the summer months.
It is. We need to find that level where some combination of futures price and or basis where the farmers will break into that amount of grain that they haven't sold yet and reward this market. It hasn't happened thus far. We've had a nice 30-cent rally in the futures, and the basis has improved 10 or 15 cents. Farmers still continue to be very tight holders of corn. You'd like to think that we're getting close to that level, but so far we haven't found that magical level where farmers are willing to sell an additional amount of corn. So far they seem content to just fill their contracts and hold on to the rest and wait for higher prices.
And your bids for the day?
Cash corn finishes the day at 253, January 269. Cash beans 530, January 546. And cash wheat 391, next year's wheat 435.
We appreciate it, Greg.
Thanks, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Somebody from that office joins us each and every Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. In just about 2 minutes, the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Your regional newscast comes up right now.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. Statistics from IDOT indicate that the Piatt County Sheriff's Police and the Monticello Police were among the top 10 police agencies in Illinois with the greatest disparities between minorities pulled over on traffic stops and the local minority population. But Piatt County Sheriff Robert Manent says most of the stops take place at night when officers can't tell the driver's race from a distance. Monticello Police Chief John Miller says the racial disparity is due to motorists passing through the area between Champaign-Urbana and Decatur. Illinois House Speaker Michael Manekin wants state lawmakers to return to Springfield soon to put a freeze on electric rates. Manekin sent a letter today to Governor Rob Blagojevich asking for a special session on the issue. Manekin spokesman Steve Brown says the speaker is asking for the special session within the next 7 days because consumers are anxious about the prospect of large rate increases once a 10-year rate freeze is lifted January 1st. Both the Cook County Assessor's Office and the Blagojevich administration dismissed the idea that the governor is getting special treatment when it comes to his property taxes. The assessment on Governor Blagojevich's home in Chicago went up less than 1%, while his northwest side neighbors saw average increases of more than 36%. A Chicago woman is still living in a church in an effort to avoid deportation, but her 7-year-old son is headed to Washington, D.C. A spokeswoman for Elvira Arellano says the activist's son, Saul, is hoping to deliver a letter tomorrow to the White House asking President Bush to intervene in his mother's case. Detectives in Monroe County, Indiana, hope a 3-dimensional model of the face of a man found dead in 2004 will help identify him. Investigators believe the man was at least 55 years old at the time of his death, and that he was most likely of either East Asian, Hispanic, or American Indian ancestry. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible in part by a grant from Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. For information, call 866-837-9027.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on WILL AM 580. Meteorologist Mark Russo of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, now on the line to take a complete look at the agricultural weather with us. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
I hear things are starting to fire up in the northern part of the state. Tell me about it, please.
Yeah, we are seeing some clusters of thunderstorms develop across the northeastern and northern sections of Illinois that are now kind of moving into Lake Michigan, but we see more activity out west, and that'll continue here as we go through today, not only across northern Illinois, but some areas of central Illinois as well, as this upper level of what we call vorticity maximum moves across the region, spawning the storms.
Is it part and parcel of the warmer weather that we've had?
That's part of it, Todd. We are seeing, along with the warmth here, at least an influx of higher dew points, and so with that added moisture into the region, along with a little bit of help of lifting in the atmosphere due to that upper level wave of low pressure that's helping to develop these storms.
And how widespread will they become?
We don't expect them to be that widespread, more kind of scattered, isolated in nature, and that will continue today on to tomorrow and then on to another several days here this week. But rather than see any kind of widespread heavy rain, such as what we saw back in September, we really don't see anything like that here over the first half of October.
In general, then, no interruption to the harvest season?
You bet, Todd. We really don't see any kind of pattern that would cause any kind of a significant harvest delays. And so we'll continue to progress in a fairly normal fashion here for the next couple of weeks.
Tell me about the Great Plains states.
Well, across the southern plains, hard red winter wheat country are seeing very warm and dry conditions that are going to prevail all this week. And at least some people are starting to get concerned about dryness. We here are not getting that concerned here just because it got really good rains back in early September and August. And now it looks like as we go into the week two time frame, it does look like rainfall prospects will improve across the southern plains as the southwest jet stream flow pattern develops over that area.
From the southwest, we go to the southern hemisphere, where mostly we're concerned about the real, I suppose, and money problems that they've been having. But how are they set up for the planting season that will progress?
Well, down across Brazil and, for that matter, Argentina, they're really starting off their summer crop growing season in very good shape, especially across Brazil, as they have started their rainy season in earnest over the past couple weeks. And that should provide a very good boost of soil moisture here at the start of planting. Argentina, though, has some dryness issues, and that's affected their winter wheat crop, now affecting beginning to affect some of their summer crop planting. It looks like, or they're seeing some rains as we speak here, and that will continue for the next several days. So that will at least improve some areas, but it does look that there will not be any significant follow-up rains after this current rain event. So for Argentina, that's a area to watch here for some possible dryness issues here as we start off this new planting season.
And a very short word on the Chinese harvest season.
Across China, they're harvesting quite rapidly due to mostly dry and warm conditions, and we expect that to continue throughout the next 10 days.
We appreciate you being with us.
Well, my pleasure, Todd.
Mark Russo's with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on Monday afternoons. We hope you tune in again tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first look at the agricultural markets with your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. And if you'd like to check up on anything that happened for the day, always go visit our website at WILLAG.org. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: Anderson Foundation, Devereaux TPAC, Danville, Jarman Senior Apartments, Tuscola, and Unitarian Universalist Church of Urbana-Champaign. These business partners join the friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.